Hey, everybody. Welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. Well, today, our draft recap episode here on the pod, and the Orioles definitely shocking a lot of people, both those fans and people across the baseball world, with their pick at number two in the draft. Of course, the Tigers went number one overall, and they took Spencer Torkelson out of Arizona State, whom many predicted they would. And then right there for the O's was Austin Martin, the Vanderbilt star, who pretty much every mock draft had the Orioles taking. But Mike Elias decided to go under slot, and we had heard those rumors for the last couple of weeks that he would try and take a player whom he could sign for a little less money and spend that money later in the draft. But a lot of people thought that player would be Nick Gonzalez out of New Mexico State, who ended up going seventh to the Pirates, one of the best hitters in college baseball, but out of a smaller school in New Mexico State, and most people thought he would cost less to sign, especially with Austin Martin being a Scott Boras client. However, the Orioles went kind of out of left field, no pun intended, and took the corner outfielder Heston Kjerstad out of Arkansas. And of course, of our five preview episodes we did on the five players we thought the O's could take, Kjerstad was not one of them. But the Orioles go with Heston Kjerstad at number two overall in the draft. Kjerstad, 21 years old, an Amarillo, Texas native. That's where he played his high school ball and then committed to Arkansas. He did get picked out of high school in the 36th round by the Mariners back in 2017, but of course decided to go to college and play for the Razorbacks. In 2018, as a freshman, he hit .332 with a .419 on base percentage, 14 homers and 16 doubles for him, as Arkansas came one out away from a national championship in 2018 in Kjerstad's freshman year. In his sophomore year, the numbers were almost identical for him. Hit .329 with a .404 on base, 16 homers and 13 doubles for him last year. But it really looked like Kjerstad was picking it up in 2020. With the season cut short, he was only able to play 16 games for Arkansas in his junior year this season. But in those 16 games, 6 homers, 5 doubles, 20 RBIs, 7 walks, and 9 strikeouts. He hit .448 with a .513 on base. The OPS was over 1,300 for Heston Kjerstad in just those 16 games. And the strikeout-to-walk ratio was a little bit of an issue in his first 2 years, but again, the 9 Ks, the 7 walks, also a good sign in the 16 games this season. And according to Mike Elias, you know, Kjerstad really wasn't on his radar at number two until February when this college season started. And Kjerstad, of course, was one of the best hitters in the country for those 4 weeks of the season that we had in college baseball before it was all shut down. And Mike Elias saying to reporters on Wednesday night that that season and those 16 games really shot Heston Kjerstad up his draft board. And by Wednesday night, he said that Kjerstad was his best available behind Torkelson. And of course, Torkelson goes number one, and he takes Heston Kjerstad at number two. So a surprising pick, but it looks like the Orioles are going to save some money, maybe up to $3 million on that slot when they sign Kjerstad. And that's going to be big because they took a couple high school players in the fourth and fifth rounds who are going to take a little bit more money to sign, and we'll talk about that a little bit later here on the pod. But that's saving that money at the top was big to get those two high school guys who a lot of people who cover the draft and know a lot more than I do about those high school players really liked those final two picks for the Orioles. But we'll get to those final two picks a little bit later after we bring in our guest. And of course, we wanted to learn more about Heston Kjerstad. And so Phil Elson will join us. He is the radio play-by-play voice of Arkansas Razorbacks baseball. He has held that position since 2014. And Phil comes on to tell us about Heston Kjerstad, maybe walking Orioles fans off the ledge a bit for that surprising number two pick, telling us what he does best offensively. Of course, the power numbers are there, but tells us about how he's really a complete hitter. And then the underrated part of Kjerstad's game is the play in the outfield, not just the arm that he shows off, but he's got some sneaky range as a corner outfielder as well. So here to tell us about the Orioles' first-round pick, Heston Kerstad, is the voice of Arkansas baseball, Phil Elson. Phil, thank you so much for taking some time today here the morning after a big night number one in the MLB draft.
Yeah, you're welcome, Connor. Yeah, I was definitely anticipating Kerstad going in the first round, maybe in the top 10, but definitely not at number two.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to start. You know, there were Heston Kerstad, the outfielder from Arkansas, who the Orioles took. A lot of people thought, as you said, you know, probably a top 10 pick, maybe around 8 to 10. I saw most mock drafts having him go. But the Orioles, you know, shocked a lot of people. They take him at number two in the draft. A lot of people thought Austin Martin, the Vanderbilt infielder, would go there. But, you know, what was the reaction from the Arkansas people, knowing that he would be a top 10 pick, but maybe not thinking he'd go that high?
Well, the first reaction more is just excitement for Kerstad, because anybody that came into contact with him in his 3 years here at Arkansas is a huge fan of his, aside from any kind of production he had on the field. He's just a good kid. He's going to be a great teammate. His makeup is really off the charts. And maybe you could say that about most of the kids that are taken early in the draft. But there's something about the way he works that I think will stand out. What the Orioles are getting here is somebody that's a huge power hitter with projectability to hit for more power than he already showed in college. I guess you want to make sure that in a 5-round draft that you definitely get a certain amount of production that's powerful for an appreciable amount of time. And when I've watched Heston hit for these last really 2.5 years, he's much more than just a power hitter. And somebody will point to his swing and miss sometimes, but everybody swings and misses. But he's able to hit to the count. He's able to hit to the strengths of the pitcher sometimes. He's able to go line to line. His power isn't just to right field or to center field. He has legitimate opposite field power. There's a ton to like about Heston Kerstad. You know, the fact that he's a corner outfielder, he played a little first base this last year too. You know, he's not a speedster. As far as athleticism is concerned, you know, I mean, he wouldn't be the guy that you would think would be second overall pick, but I think his hitting ability is off the charts. And I've been watching him long enough to think, and I mean, this kid is probably as close to major league ready as anybody in college baseball.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. You know, maybe didn't think he'd go number two, but that power and that bat's going to play. And as you said, you've watched him for 2.5 years. And don't get me wrong, he was fantastic from the second he walked onto campus, really, as a freshman and a sophomore. But even though it's only 16 games, those numbers even ticked up even more in the 16 games this year before the season was cut. 6 homers, 20 RBIs. He was hitting .448 with a .513 on base percentage. And Mike Elias, the Orioles GM, when talking to the media last night, said that Kerstad wasn't too high on their board until really those last maybe 10 or so games of this season. He shot up their board and they reached out to him a few times. And all of a sudden, by last night, he was the top player. So, you know, from your perspective, watching him play every day, do you think it was this final abbreviated season that really put him over the top and solidified him into what ended up being a top five pick?
I think you could tell that there was something in the first month this year for Kerstad that looked like he was about to have not just a good or great season, but potentially an historic one that could, you know, get you mentioned for the Golden Spikes Award. I mean, it wasn't just the video game numbers. It's that the outs were hard too. I mean, he probably would have led the country in loud outs at the same time. So yeah, you could definitely see a difference. Like I would talk with Dave Van Horn, the longtime head coach at Arkansas, and he would say, man, I mean, he might hit 25 to 30 home runs this year in a college season. You know, and he did that again. You know, the first month of the season isn't SEC baseball, but the third week of the year, Arkansas played Texas and Oklahoma and Baylor, and saw Cade Cavalli, who was picked in the first round out of Oklahoma, and cursed that hit against all of them too. So up against the SEC, seeing better pitching, I'm not saying he would have hit 440, but he wouldn't have lost a beat. I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah, one thing you had mentioned a little bit earlier that I think one of the worries is, at least from people who have only watched the small sample size of Heston, is the strikeouts. And in those first two seasons, he was averaging about one punch out per game. What's kind of the counter to that if people are, you know, worried about the swing and miss in him?
The counter is that, you know, strikeouts have been accepted in baseball much more so than before, as long as it comes with legit power, you know, and that's what Heston will give you. There's no doubt. You know, if he's, I don't know how many times he'll strike out on a major league season on average, but if he strikes out 130, 140 times, but he's hitting you 30 to 35, 40 home runs, depending on the situations, it's going to pay off just fine, you know, and I don't see anything wrong, honestly, with the swings and misses sometimes, because part of this too is he's smart. He's an intelligent hitter. You know, he really isn't just a home run hitter. He's a guy that comes through in the clutch quite often. He's somebody that's good in situational moments, you know? So the swings and misses are going to come, but I think that is matched, and even it surpasses the kind of power that he brings, the kind of production that he brings. I don't think you'll mind the strikeouts too much.
Hey, back to the interview in just a sec, but wanted to tell you about Built Bars. They're tasty and they're healthy. It's a protein bar, but it tastes like a candy bar. You can get it in 16 different flavors. They're all covered in chocolate, easy to eat, and good for you as well. Great for a health conscious person. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Just 20 grams of protein in, for example, the peanut butter brownie bar, which that's the best flavor combination right there. Peanut butter brownie. You can't beat that one. Just 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. You can't beat that in a protein bar that's good for you, and it really tastes good as well. So you can go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand that is in the warehouse or that store happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com, a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. You've seen him for 3 years. And you've seen him face some great competition, obviously, in the SEC. Was there one moment or any moments throughout his 3 years where, you know, maybe he was facing a top arm or in a big spot where, you know, you yourself maybe had a realization that, you know, not only is this guy going to be a great college player, but he's going to produce highly at the next level too?
Well, I mean, week in, week out, you're in the SEC, you face frontline prospect style starting pitching and guys that are going to go to the major leagues and perform well. You know, I saw Heston hit well against Casey Mize, against Brady Singer, you know, pitchers of that stature, you know, but I remember bringing it up last night. on Twitter. The one moment that stands out about him, and everybody will stand in awe with tongue hanging on his tape measure home runs. I mean, he hit like probably 6 or 7 balls over our video board in right center. And, you know, we've got a tall video board at our home ballpark because, you know, we get big crowds up to 13,000. But it was a play he made in left field in the regional final his freshman year, at the left field fence, robbing a guy of what would have been a game-tying home run in the sixth inning. It was the defensive play of the year. Nobody talks about Kerstedt's outfield play, which, you know, he played left field his freshman year, right field his sophomore year. He was more in right field this season, too, but they also worked him a little bit at first base. I didn't get a chance to see him at first base enough to tell you whether or not that's a position he'll play in the future. I think he's a corner outfielder. He's got a pretty strong throwing arm, too. And when he gets to, he catches. But, you know, an interesting thing about Kerstedt is when he was first recruited to Arkansas and committed to Arkansas, he was a center fielder. And he was more like 5'10". 175 pounds, as Dave Van Horn tells it. He thought he was getting a leadoff center fielder. When he showed up on campus, he was 6'3", 210. And he ended up having his, well, you know, you'd say middle of the order hitter, but Dave started to hit him second in the lineup last year and had him hitting second in the lineup this year too. So, you know, he grew, his body shot up, and sometimes people point to, you know, a lack of athleticism I've heard here and there. But I'll tell you what, he's going to grow into that body a little bit more. And I think he's more athletic than those people give him credit for. So that catch at the left field fence, which what I'm telling you about, interestingly enough, came one inning after he dropped a can of corn in left field, I thought was a play that's indicative of what he can do. You know, I'm not telling you he's going to be a gold glover, but he's not going to hurt you in the outfield, I don't think.
Yeah, this is definitely all stuff that I think Orioles fans wanted to hear. I think there was a knee-jerk reaction as soon as the pick was made because a lot of people were expecting Austin Martin. But after, I think a lot of people watched the video, saw the stats, and have kind of settled in and a lot more positive here day after with the Heston Kerstad pick. And finally, I wanted to ask you about a guy who the Orioles took pretty highly a couple years ago, the right-hander Blaine Knight, who they took out of Arkansas in the third round back in 2018, and had a pretty good start to his minor league career. He struggled, though, at high A ball in Frederick last year. But I know him and Kerstad were teammates for the one season at Arkansas back in 2018 on a really, really good Razorbacks team. But, you know, What kind of pitcher was Knight like in college? And then, you know, what would you tell people who are a little worried about, you know, his season in Frederick last year with the ERA over 6?
Well, you know, don't look into single A early seasons in minor league baseball too much. I spent 20 years working in minor league baseball on the radio and saw lots of pitchers that had bad seasons. 1 year just, you know, blossom and turn into something else. So, you know, discount that a little bit. What you get with Blaine Knight is, and to me, it'll, you know, once you actually get back to playing baseball in the minor leagues again, probably next year, this is where you'll find this kind of stuff out. Blaine is a fantastic competitor. He was able to get out of so many tight situations the year that he led Arkansas to the College World Series 2 seasons ago. You know, that sounds a little bit like telling you, you know, this guy's going to give up his share of hits, but he'll battle out of it. What I'm telling you is he burns with a competition, like a need to compete that always showed itself on the field here. And while his stuff might be a little short in the areas of, you know, being a dominant starting pitcher in the major leagues, he's smart enough and he's competitive enough and malleable enough and has enough pitches in his arsenal to, I think, to make the most out of what he has and carve himself out a major league career. So I was really excited to see what he would do in the lower minors this year because, you know, he's the kind of kid that can bounce back, can be very resilient, and be very strong-minded.
And the hope is that obviously Knight gets those numbers back, and hopefully in a couple years, him and Heston Kerstad end up as teammates again in Baltimore, and obviously try and get themselves a championship that they were so close to a couple years ago. But Phil, thank you so much for joining us to talk about Heston Kerstad, the Orioles' first round pick, and it looks like they got a good power hitter who can hopefully be a great hitter at the major league level as well.
Well, and we all love him here in Arkansas, and that says a lot because he's from Texas, and Arkansans don't like Texas very much. So we really love him here. We're proud of him, and you know, you're going to end up with a lot of Orioles fans here in Arkansas for a while.
So again, our thanks to Phil Elson, the radio play-by-play voice of Arkansas Razorbacks baseball, for joining the pod to tell us about Heston Kerstad. We did record that interview on Thursday morning, the morning after Kerstad was picked in the first round, as Phil gave us his thoughts on the guy who turned out to be the number two pick in the Major League Baseball draft. And as he said, you know, most of the Arkansas people were thinking Kerstad would be a top 10 pick, maybe picks 8 through 10, but a little surprised, but very happy to see him go number two. And of course, they think he definitely has the talent to be a fantastic Major League Baseball player, and that's what the Orioles hope as well. But of course, the O's weren't done after Kerstad. That was their first of six picks that they had in this 2020 MLB draft that was just five rounds. They had a pick in each round, and then they had a pick in the competitive balance A round, which actually turned out to almost be like a second first-round pick. Of course, the Astros had to forfeit their first-round pick, so only 29 teams picked in the first round, and the Orioles had the first competitive balance A pick, which means they picked at 30th overall, which is usually the last pick of the first round. And with that one, the Orioles took Jordan Westberg, the shortstop from Mississippi State. Westberg, a really good career with the Bulldogs over 3 years. And he's a guy who plays solid defense. You know, there's a couple questions on whether or not he will stick at shortstop or if maybe he'll have to move to second or third. But the Orioles were connected with him for a while. A lot of people thought they'd take him with their second round pick at number 39. They go Westberg at number 30. This year he hit .317 in 16 games with a .432 on base, couple of homers, 8 career homers, 31 career doubles in 105 games at Mississippi State with an .822 OPS for him. Pretty good pick there that they might also be able to save some money on. Of course, the slot value for Kerstad at the top was about $7.8 million. It looks like the Orioles are going to be able to sign him for around $5 million to save some money. Slot value for Westberg was $2.4 million, and they might save a little money there as well. With the second round pick, they took Hudson Haskin at number 39 overall, the outfielder out of Tulane. Haskin, an interesting case, just a sophomore, but is a draft-eligible sophomore, is Haskin. So he was able to come out and be picked this year after just really a year and a half in college baseball because the season was cut short. But he led all D1 freshman hitters in batting average in 2019 when he hit .372 with a .459 on base for Tulane as a freshman, 10 homers. This year with the Green Wave, .333, .452 on base, 1 homer, and 6 doubles for him. He steals a lot of bases, or at least he projects to at the next level. Good speed, good outfielder. He's got a little bit of a funky swing. He kind of reminds you of Hunter Pence at the plate a little bit, but he still has some pop and should be a good player. And another guy that they might be able to sign a bit under slot. Slot value was $1.9 million for that pick, and they might be able to save a little bit of money. Third round pick for the O's at number 74 overall, Anthony Servideo, the shortstop out of Ole Miss. I actually got the pleasure of calling his games, watching him play for a summer back in 2018 with the Baltimore Redbirds of the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League. And Servideo, that's one of the best defensive shortstops I've ever seen. And he can play a lot of positions, shortstop, second base. He played a lot of right field at Ole Miss as well. You can move him around pretty much anywhere on the diamond, and he'll give you great defense. Also has good pop out of the bat from the left side. Really, really good hitter at Ole Miss for 3 years, and he should be a really good addition to the Orioles. Probably a guy who will sign closer to the slot, maybe above it, at about $844,000 for that pick value. Now, in the fourth and fifth rounds, the Orioles went with the high school guys. In the fourth round at pick 103, they took Kobe Mayo, a third baseman out of Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida. 6'5", 215, big power-hitting third baseman. Has a whole lot of pop in his bat. The pick value there at about $566,000. Looks like they'll be able to sign him over slot. And in fact, it was reported today by John Heyman that the Orioles have an agreement already with Kobe Mayo, their fourth-round pick. The slot value, again, $566,000. They sign him for $1.75 million on the signing bonus there. So that's why they saved that money at the top. They were able to spend it on Mayo, get a guy who a lot of people had in their top 100 rankings, and he goes at pick 103. A good job there by the O's. And then really their best value pick, if he can sign, and that is the plan with the Orioles saving money, is Carter Baumler. He is a infielder slash right-handed pitcher out of Dowling Catholic High School in Iowa. 6'2", 195, two-way guy who probably most likely projects as a pitcher. Good stuff, fastball in the low 90s with good breaking stuff. It was thought at the beginning of the draft that he really wouldn't be signable, and that he would be heading to school. However, with the extra money the Orioles saved, it looks like they're going to be able to sign him and sign all six of these draftees with the money they saved. So that move at the top ends up working out for Mike Elias. So those are the six picks for the Orioles. Of course, we broke down Kerstad for you today, and we got a good look at him. And thanks to Phil Elson, the voice of Razorbacks baseball, for joining us to talk about Kerstad. Next week, we're going to get into some of the other picks and try to give each of them their own episode here on the pod as we get closer and closer to each of them, hopefully all signing their deals with the Orioles. We're definitely going to get into Jordan Westberg, Hudson Haskin, and Anthony Servideo in our episodes next week, the other three college guys. And then expect maybe one more episode to break down the two high school guys, Kobe Mayo and Carter Baumler, as well here on the pod as we continue our 2020 MLB draft coverage. And remember, anybody who didn't get drafted, they are now a free agent. Now, the signing cap is you can't be signed for more than $20,000. But starting on Sunday, they all become free agents, and it's really up to them whether or not they want to either go back to school if they're a college sophomore or junior, or if they're a high school senior, go to school, or if they want to take that chance for just the $20,000 and go to the minor leagues. In this format this year, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of guys who sign for that $20,000. Obviously, the college seniors will do it unless they choose to go back for that extra year. But other than that, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of these signings for each team, but I still think each team will get at least a couple guys. So we'll tell you about those guys that the Orioles get as well. Final thing here on the pod today. Remember, we've been talking about it all week. The Locked On Podcast Network is matching donations from its hosts to any number of charities supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. And just wanted to let you guys know that, again, you can donate as well. We encourage you to do so. If you head over to our website, Locked On Podcasts, there is a list of where the network will be sending the money to give you some ideas. And if you have other charities that you would like to send money to, reach out to us on Twitter at Locked On Orioles, and we may send some of our money there as well. But wanted to give you a little list I saw yesterday that broke down a bit, you know, places that are still needing money and some places that are no longer accepting donations because of such of the outpouring that they got. But just a list of places that are still accepting donations, places like the Black Trans Travel Fund, the Color of Change organization, COVID Bailout in New York City, the Innocence Project, the Bail Project, the Committee to Protect Journalists, the Brooklyn Community Bail Fund, Philly Bail Fund, the New York City Bail Fund, and the NAACP, just to name a few. Remember those bail funds, most of them still accepting donations as well. As again, the podcast network here is matching all donations from the hosts and encourages you, the listener, to donate as well if you can. That's it for this episode. If you like what you're hearing here on the pod, our draft coverage, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you are listening to this podcast right now. Give us a rating and a review if you can. It really helps out the pod. But until next week, we'll be back with you with more draft coverage on the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.